Oh, let's go to Genesis 6. Verse 5. We'll wait until the one armed guy gets his. You're the only person that I've ever met that eats the cereal out of their lap. Yeah. Anyway.
Lap eaters.
And that'll make Trinity news. And it's fake news, of course, right?
And verse 5. Huh? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you think that's changed any?
Yeah, we've got a lot better since then.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, really? There.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And then this one incredible word, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because of Noah and the seven others with him, he didn't destroy us. But he was going to destroy man and beast and everything else off of it, and recreate. Now, has man got any better?
Well, what were they like back then? I mean, they were talking about giants in the earth.
It was the whole idea of there was all kinds of stuff going on. We don't even know for sure how all it was, but it certainly was caused much by the fallen angels when they started lusting after the women. And then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Now let's go to Romans 8.
To where?
Romans chapter 8. Let's go. We said Romans chapter 8, right? Let's go before that. Let's go to we'll start in the law, and the comparison of the law, and the, what it means in terms of sin. So let's go to chapter 7, starting verse 1 of 7. Sorry about that. Now know you not that, brethren, I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, there's no cure. The law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And because of that, you can't help but sin. Amen? But what happens? You start convincing yourself that you're getting better, or that you're doing okay for a while. So we don't understand from God's standpoint what sin really is. From God's standpoint, sin is anything about you. Does that communicate? That you can do nothing but sin. Does anybody believe that?
That's a strong one for me. Like, all I can do is sin. I mean, do I need the Holy Spirit?
No, you need to die.
Right. But when I die, the Holy Spirit fills the vacuum.
The Holy Spirit, again, we totally and honestly and always, all of us, forget this incredible humility of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Any one of the Trinity could, boom, and all of a sudden you wouldn't sin anymore. But they let you, even though Christ is in you, because of his humility, he will never occupy where you are in your world of your mind and your surroundings. Now, that one scripture, one idea, caused more people. I got more letters over that than anything else I've ever gotten letters about. There were thousands of them coming to that. I think, because how then can I live? You can't. But as long as you think that he's going to, one of the three of the Trinity are going to come along and zap you, and fix you. And really, that's what most Christians believe.
I don't know, I guess maybe all these listeners were, you were challenging the conventional wisdom that if you were born again, that you and Christ were a team.
Yeah, but we're not. We're not a team.
People just either hadn't heard it or hadn't rarely heard it, and they didn't like it. How dare you say that?
Yeah, that was a lot of how dare you.
What?
I said, I got a lot of the how dare yous. But the idea that, I mean, each of us, some more than others, secretly believe that the Holy Spirit or the Father or the Son is going to come along and fix you. No, I know for a certainty that's not true. But do you believe it? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit's going to come along and fix you? I know from your comments, many of you or some of you believe that.
It doesn't fix you. It's a new life. It's a different life. It's a changed life.
If there is if there's truly a different life, then there would be a different life. But there isn't.
I don't say there isn't.
Because they're not going to occupy where you are.
Is your life, was it not different after Revelation?
No, it's still, we've been through that many times. I started to think, well, I must be able to do something. So I tried for a while to believe that the Holy Spirit was going to fix me, and then I finally found out, no, He's not. He's not going to occupy where you are. And so you have to see yourself, the evil, so that it can be repented of, so that you can over... It can, that's the only way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will go to war for you, when you confess it as your sin.
I think part of the problem is that we think it's binary, or we'd like it to be binary, on and off, you know, and it isn't. It's what Paul said, everyone's gained from me is lost in Christ. So, you know, it can give the appearance of a life that's getting better, but what it is you're repenting of the things, and God's taking over that piece of you as it goes along. It's not a binary on-off thing.
Yeah, and it's the mantra of the modern church that because the word says that I am that I'm on the mercy seat doesn't make it true that you're on the mercy seat. You're not on the mercy seat until you're on the mercy seat.
It's easy to try to think that everything that sounds good and everything that sounds bad, that's to somebody else. The one I hear is that the Lord convicts you of sin. Sin of righteousness and judgment. You know, but sin is the big one that, you know, gives you a chance to say, you know, I need to die in this area, or I repent of this, or whatever. It's not a binary thing. It's a piece by piece thing.
Yeah, I mean, it says that in different ways all over, but I find them a law. When I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. Well, I don't want to do good. Well, yes, you do. All of us do.
I'd like what I do to be considered good.
Yeah. All right, well, let's continue. The law hath dominion over a man. In chapter 7, verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And that right there is the mystery of really what God is doing, which is not what we think He's doing. You have to find then a law. You have to know that any law, any cause, because all law by definition is cause and effect. So as long as there's any cause and effect within you, you're still, when I want to do good, evil one is present with me. Well, then I just don't want to do good anymore. Well, then he brings a few buddies with him. And well, let's go on.
I want to go through that over.
Well, let's go on now down to chapter 7, verse excuse me. In verse 18, chapter 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now, what happened to me is that, again, I fell into the trap, and I started believing that what my mind was telling me was coming from God, because it was going to do it in God's name. Well, that was big of me. And so that's when I had one of many face down in the mud sessions with God, because I really wanted to believe that all these things that I was thinking up and doing were God's will. I think some of you remember that. I find then a law: when I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. In other words, but he's more than just present. He's in the control. He's the seat. All right. Let's go to 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But if you justify that which you're doing, you're not consenting that the law is good, because you're still trying to use the law of cause and effect to affect or effect your life. Now that's a complicated sentence, but it's very simple. The minute you put the name of God on your fleshly activities, you've had it. You've gone back to the pit. Somebody, I was musing. I can feel the muse.
So if you put your name on anything without him involved, that's blasphemy.
If you what?
If you put your name on anything you do without him involved, that's sin.
Well,
if you do anything and you say you put his name on it, that's sin. So very likely there's, if you've died to self, or you've repented to the point where there's no there, then whatever you do in life, you basically, it's him and you, and you don't talk about it, you don't say anything. There's no, I guess the ultimate act of humility would be that you don't talk about anything you do or about yourself, because that's not important.
Well, what happens is, it's excuse me, the whole chapter of what we're reading is this whole idea of thinking up something to do instead of living by faith.
I've been watching, I know Duplantis is a clown, but he's not the only televangelist who says God talks to him. What is it with all of these, I'm not trying to change the subject, but I've met people in my life that truly believe that God talks to them.
Well, they may, it's they wouldn't, it wasn't God talking, it was the Holy Spirit. But
my sister believes that.
Sure, because it's what that does is it puts God's name on things they want to do. I mean, I did it.
Back in the Old Testament, God talked to people all the time.
Well, and I'm not saying he doesn't talk to people.
Yeah.
But mostly what he talks about is... It's really the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. it's more common in the charismatic world than any place else, where that God showed me this morning. Blah blah blah. No, he didn't.
So he basically isn't going to tell you what to do. The Holy Spirit through him in you will tell you, remind you what you shouldn't do or what you don't do.
Well, it's a flat out statement that you're using your mind. You can't, if you're using your flesh mind. You know you're sinning, because that's all it can do.
The first thing that comes to my mind is that verse about try the spirits.
What?
The verse about try the spirits. Every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So if somebody comes along and tells you to do something, does it confess Christ or not? Or is it about the world? I need to fix something, or God tells me I need to contribute $1,000, or whatever, you know, stupid thing you say. And the thing is I think this comes from imagination. And that's the seat of this sin that you know, we do, is that when we think we're going to do something, it's because we imagine the cause and effect is going to produce some effect. And so the second that we use our imagination to think of something to do, we're actually back worshiping cause and effect. And that's why, you know, no imagination can be valid. It can't be anything other than sin, because you're an idolater now. Cause and effect is more important than God.
Yeah, and that's how many people who call themselves believers live. But you have to come to the end. The only way you can come to the end of that is to see that your mind cannot be fixed. And so the scripture that you go to, obviously, is what I was going to right away. But let's because we'll never get out of here if we don't. In verse, for they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, that means your hunk of flesh that's in your skull, your carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's nothing that your mind can do except sin. Because sin, from God's point of view, is the same as it was in the garden. If you're aware of self, you're in sin. If you're giving breath to tomorrow, today, you're in sin. Then what shall I do? What shall this man do? Well, say, Father, show this to me. I'm not going to believe holy. You've got to have a revelation from God. It can't happen because you finally read it right. The carnal mind, that means that hunk of flesh, that's what carnal means, the hunk of flesh in your brain is your carnal mind. It cannot please God. It's not subject to the law of God. It's enmity against God.
So all of the opinions and input that I get from, for example, Tom and Pete, daily. Is that evil?
Well, it's for whom? Is it evil for them?
I'm just saying those are the two people I talk to.
Well, I understand. If someone comes to me and asks for advice about something, I give it to them. But I'm not telling them what to do, I hope. But if they want my opinion because I'm an old fart, then
Maybe they come to me. But I'm certainly, if they come to me, I'm, especially the teenagers, if they come to me, I'm not going to try to feed them strong meat and then, when they're just sort of becoming aware of God. You share the milk of the word instead of the strong meat. Well, we've got a meeting this morning, so we'll continue this. I didn't know what day it is.
Friday.
Yeah, we'll continue this Monday. Then I'm recording a month. But anybody else have any response?
Something that jumped out on me was that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God.
And it can't be.
Can it be? So I've never quite seen that part of this, not even subject to the law of God. But does it try to be? To make itself
constantly. That's because that's the evil one's job. Your mind is the evil one until you get that to the point that you see that Adam died on the cross. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Then who are we? If you're not of the Adamic race, who are you? We are all of the evil one if you're born into this world. It's not possible to fix. You must die. That means abandonment of self, abandonment of the idea of using your mind for anything. But you live because it's by faith alone that we must live. Now that's what the rest of chapter 8 says.
And that's also James 4.
Pardon?
15. I think this is also James 4, 15, where it says, "For what you ought to say is, if the Lord live, if the Lord will, and we live, and do this and that." In other words, everything has to begin from this idea of not planning, but if, you know, I don't have another idea. If the Lord wills and I continue to live, I'll go out and do this.
And that's why the whole, we should study this again, but the whole idea of how the cloud and the flame of fire are still the guidance for you, just as they were for Israel. If you have more than one option, you know you're wrong. If you have a choice between two or three different options, you wait and do nothing until the cloud lifts, until doubt is gone. And I promise you, you'll know. When you no longer see it as options, but you see it as, wow. And the more you can go through this wow period, which is rarer than hen's teeth, the more you will be living by faith alone. But your mind will always trick you. Your mind will always try to tell you that what you're doing is from God. And the scriptures say that if you have a choice between option one, two, three, or four, or five, or whatever, then you know it's not of God. You wait on Him, whether you spend a night in the tent or 40 years. You wait until there's only one thing. You think about how many options you deal with in your life, in your daily operation. If there's more than one option, then you wait. That's what faith is. We think faith is, well, I believe in God. No, that's something else. Faith is the total abandonment of self. That you live by the mind of Christ alone, and you don't live by the mind of Christ because you say you do. You live by the mind of Christ. When that mind you call the hunk of flesh, when that mind is empty to the point of a vacuum. So there's a direct circuit between you and the Father. And that direct circuit is the Holy Spirit, because you're no longer living after the flesh. And so your mind no longer has a part of this. It's so simple. If you have more than one option, you do nothing. Well, if you're already doing a whole bunch of stuff, then you can't go from doing a whole bunch of stuff to doing nothing. Because you have to find out for yourself what faith is. I'm sorry. I'm at it. Consider these things. We'll get more on it in the future. Take a big dive.